the extra mile. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to read a rather lengthy passage of scripture here, but it's important. We're going to start in verse 20. And I think the two words that we start with are probably two of the most important words in the Bible. Giving thanks. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, and Paul sums it up with this, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You know, I'll be 74 in just a few short months, and I've met a lot of people. And one thing I never understood is why couples fight. Husband and wife. I mean, disagree? I understand disagree. Not everybody agrees with everything. But I've seen couples that are just absolutely cantankerous. They are the nicest people out in the world. They get into their home and they rip in and they criticize their wife or their husband and just tear them up one side and down the other. And you wonder why they don't have any peace in the home. Look, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, if you like to fight so much, go out there and find a stranger to pick on. Don't you be fighting with the one that you love. God says that we should love our wives like Christ loved the church. That kind of love involved the Calvary. And what I like about this passage of Scripture, it doesn't give you an out. Well, see, my wife is mean. She's nasty. That doesn't give you an out. That doesn't excuse you. You know, you'd be surprised how nice she might be if you treated her like you ought to treat her. If you treated her like the queen that she is and the woman you love, you might change your wife. And the old man can be changed too. I mean, we're a little harder to change, but you see, when you get Band-Aid on your nose, you don't reach for that second cookie. She'll nail you every time. Success in the home is going the second mile. God tells us that regardless of what our mate does, that doesn't relieve us of being of the responsibility of being a proper husband or a proper wife. And that's successful marriage is each partner gives 100%. It's not a 50-50 deal. The world's going to try to teach you that marriage is a 50-50 proposition. It's not. Marriage is 100%, 100%, giving by both parties, and you'll have a successful marriage. The secret of success in your life is going the extra mile. First, you got to remember. Got to remember when life begins. You don't have a life till Jesus comes in. Life begins when Jesus comes in. John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. The closer you get to the Lord, the more abundant your life is. Life is more than just being saved. Being saved is a fire escape. You want more than a fire escape. You want to have the kind of life that is abundant and victorious. I know a lot of you, and I have too, you've heard of people talk about the Spirit-filled life. We met some lady at a reunion, and she was telling us that she was in a Spirit-filled church. Well, I learned something. I learned, first of all, that the Holy Spirit is a person. And persons are difficult to divide. I mean, if you divide me, you don't get half a man, you get a dead man. So. And the Holy Spirit, being a person, can't be divided. And I learned that when I got saved, the Holy Spirit moved into my body and took possession of me, and I have all of the Holy Spirit that there is. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our redemption. In other words, that's a down payment of our resurrection and deliverance to heaven, is the Holy Spirit of God. So I don't like the term Spirit-filled. I would rather use the term Spirit-led. Now, I have all of the Spirit that I can ever have. But the problem is, He doesn't have all of me. I told the story in seniors about the old fella. A younger fella asked him, he says, how do you conquer temptation? And he says, well, he said, you never get over temptation. I asked my grandfather, who lived to the age of 96, if he ever got past the part where he was tempted to sin. And he said, you're going to have ask somebody older than me. And that's the truth. I mean, you're tempted to sin till you die. But we have all of the Holy Spirit that we can get because He's a person. He lives in us, but He doesn't have all of us. And this old fella told the younger one, he said, you know, he says, you got to remember that, he says, there's two dogs live inside you. He says, you got the devil's dog, the black dog, and you got God's dog, the white dog. And he says, these dogs are terrible. They fight all the time. They fight each other. And the younger guy says, well, which dog wins? And the old fella says, the one you feed. So if we feed the Spirit's going to win. We feed the flesh is going to win. Now, I look in the Bible for answers, and I look for the evidence of an abundant life. Because I've learned down through the years that not everyone that claims to be Spirit-filled is Spirit-led. I've seen people that have lived like the devil through the week, and they live like St. Peter on Sunday. And anybody can do that. You could go out here in a bar and you could find you a drunk and say, listen, I want you to come to church on Sunday morning for an hour and I want you to be spiritual. And here's $100 if you can do it. You can't cuss. You can't do anything like that. You got to sing the songs. You got to listen. Anybody can do that. What's tough is being a Christian 7 days a week. That's the tough part. And I learned the evidence of the leading of the Holy Spirit several different ways. John 14 and verse 21. Obedience to the word of God. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. If you're led by the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to love the word of God, and you're going to obey the word of God. You're going to follow the word of God. You'll stay away from known sin. The things that tempted me 50 years ago don't tempt me now. I don't know whether donuts are sin or not, but they sure tempt me. Wasn't donuts 50 years ago. Things change. As we get closer to the Lord, as we serve the Lord longer, there are things that I used to watch a lot of TV. I don't watch TV much anymore. There's just not much to watch. Used to go to movies. I don't go to movies. I don't like movies. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. You can do that for yourself, but you got to figure out what your priorities are. I used to have a problem reading the Word of God on a daily basis. I don't have that problem anymore because I like to read the Word of God, and I discover something new every time I pick it up. John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Sometimes what I feel doesn't agree with the Word of God. And I learned a long time ago that I don't trust my feelings. The pastor's been studying the book of Acts about Paul when he followed his feelings instead of the Spirit of God. And he made Paul a prisoner. Spirit-led is word-filled. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 20. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What kind of songs fill your heart? Spirit-led Christians bear fruit. John chapter 15. That's a fruit-bearing chapter of the Bible. And I want to look at a few verses in there. It talks about fruit. And if you're a Christian and you're led by the Spirit, you're going to bear fruit. Verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I learned as a young man how to take care of an orchard. Nice thing about being a farmer is you learn a lot of different things. And I learned if you're going to take care of your orchard, you got to prune it. You got to get rid of the branches that don't bear fruit. And some of them do and some of them don't. We've got a little bush out in our yard that was overgrown. And when we came back to Cambridge, I gave that bush a haircut. And Jane looked at that bush and she says, oh, my bush is gone. My bush is gone. It'll never come back. And I trimmed that thing right down to the ground. And by golly, last year that thing jumped up there and it come out and just was full of flowers. And I said, well, it worked that time. I'm going to do it again. I give it a haircut again. And now the bush is up about this high and it's getting ready to blossom. And we're going to have to probably start wholesaling flowers. We'll have so many flowers on that bush. But the pruning was what we got rid of, the branches that weren't doing anything. I learned also that spirit-led Christians separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. What's your choice of friends? I come back to Guernsey County here after being gone for 50-some years, and I looked up some of the people that I went to school with. And you know, their lives went this way, my life went this way. Some of their lives went this way, my life went this way. We really don't have a lot in common anymore. We have the school that we went to, but that's about it. And the Bible says, you can't be friends with some of the people that used to be your friends. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We need to watch our wishbone. I think one of the nice things about getting older, you don't want so much. When I was young, I used to accumulate I used to save. I used to collect cars, and I used to do this and used to do that. And you know, they're gone. Given away, sold, passed on to the kids. Every time a kid stops by, I send something with them. Sooner, by the time I croak, the house will be empty. And that's the way it's supposed to work out. But we need to remember what our wishbone is. We need to have a sanctified wishbone. And Spirit-led Christians serve, and Spirit-led Christians love. 1 John 3, verse 10, it says, "Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Some of our brothers are a little difficult to love. You've probably figured that out. But God tells us we have to love them. We don't have to like them sometimes, but we do have to love them. And one of the things that we have to love the Jewish people. They're God's chosen people. That's never changed. Don't have to do business with them, but we do have to love them. And we do have to support them. As we go down the line here, Spirit-led Christians have a no-so salvation. Do you know you're saved? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt? 1 John 5:13, I've had people say, I've asked them that question, do you know you're saved? You know if you died today, you'd go to heaven. And they say, well, nobody can know that. Yes, they can. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, K-N-O-W. Now, God is good about saying what he means. He doesn't write in riddles. K-N-O-W. Do you know what that means? It means no. I know that I'm saved. What did I do? I don't really know, but I know I went to an old-fashioned altar and I bowed my head and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save my soul. I know I did that. And I know that the Bible says if I did that, I'm saved. That ye may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the Son of God. When you know that you're saved, you can believe in the promises of God and you can take those to the bank. Spirit-led Christians are Christ-like. Galatians 5, verse 22, and you all know that verse, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That word fruit there is a singular word. Those things all go together. But I learned something on the farm about fruit, too. See, if you've never been a farmer, you think you go in the grocery store and you buy a bag and it's got fruit in it and that's all there is to it. We had a plum tree set outside the kitchen, and it had a habit of blooming early. And then the frost would come and nip all the buds, and then there wouldn't be any plums because they got killed off. But on the spring that we didn't have a late frost after the tree bloomed, that thing brought forth fruit. And I would go out there and watch it, and I'd check on it, because I love plums. I mean, that tree in the Garden of Eden was not an apple tree, I'll guarantee that. It either had to be a watermelon tree or a plum tree, one of the two. But I know it wasn't apples, because you don't get that crazy about apples. But I would wait till that thing, and I had to wait and wait and wait, and when are you going to get ripe? But I learned something about fruit. It's not instantaneous. Fruit grows. Fruit has to grow. And the longer we serve the Lord, the more fruit we can produce. The ability to produce fruit comes with age. And that's just like a Spirit-led Christian. The more that you let God control your life, the more fruit you will produce. The second mile takes effort. It's easy to stop and sit down at the end of the first mile. There's no such thing as instant success. There's no such thing as instant sanctification either. That's a lifelong process. There's a kid's song we used to sing years ago. And it was cute when the kids sang it, but it had a lot of truth to it. And you probably have heard the song, "He's Still Working on Me to Make Me What I Ought to Be." And that's the same with us. God's still working on you tonight. Success, sanctification, both take work, hard work. It's not easy. I went to school with a young man. And had he stayed in the world, he would probably have been destined for a lot of success, worldly success. But he got saved. God called him to preach. And his name was Dell. And he's a young guy. I was one of the senior citizens in college. I was called to preach when I was in my 30s. But Dell used to tell about his life on the sales floor. And he knew that if he was going to be successful, he had to work. And he was the hardest working guy I think I ever saw. He was gung-ho, he was eager, and he was ready to go. And I said, "Dell," I said, "how do you do that?" And he said, "well," he says, "I use the same principle that I used when I was living in the world." He said, "I've got me a picture of the biggest Cadillac that you could get." And he says, "I pasted it to the ceiling right above the bed." And he said, "I wake up in the morning and I look up at that and I see that Cadillac and I'd say, 'Dell, if you want that Cadillac, you're going to have to get out of bed and go work for it.'" And he said, "that got me up and got me started." And he says, "now," he says, "I look up into heaven. I see I've got something to work for." But you know, the reward is not just heaven. That's nice. Pie in the sky and the sweet by and by, that's nice. But the fruit is a reward in itself. I had a fella that I worked with. He was a general foreman, and I worked for GM Truck and Coach in Pontiac when I was in Bible college. And I was working on a Saturday one day, and this guy worked in the van plant next door, and he was a general foreman. And he come walking through the plant, they're just strolling. No, the lines weren't running, we were doing repair work. And he looked through, and I stepped out from my stall there. I was a mechanic in there, and I said, "Are you lost, Sonny? Can I help you find your dad?" And this guy was older than I was, you know. And I got to talking to him. I introduced myself, and I found out that he lived in a little town where my son lives now, a little town of Oxford, Michigan. And I had a church in Lake Orion, Michigan, just south of that we had just started not too long before then. Anyhow, I invited him to church, and I found out where he lived. And he didn't come, of course, he didn't come to church, so I stopped by his house and invited him to church. And he had a little girl, and I asked her, she was maybe 3 or 4 years old, "you want to go to Sunday school?" "Oh, yeah." I said, "you need to bring her to Sunday school." Well, I found out there was a reason. They weren't married. They had a child out of wedlock. Make a long story short, he got saved. He came, walked the aisle, got saved. His wife got saved. He had 3 children from a previous marriage and an ex-wife. He brought them to church. They got saved. He brought his ex-mother-in-law to church. She got saved. And I'd look up on Sunday morning, and they'd have a pew about the length of that, and they'd have that thing clear full and spilled over to the next one. And I watched the fruit that he brought from just that one soul that got saved. And I still think of it today. And I think of him. And he's retired living in Louisiana, but serving God. His kids are serving God. The fruit is a reward, not just heaven. How about you tonight? Are you willing to go the second mile? The first one, that's compulsory. The second mile involves the faithfulness. Salvation comes first. Then you follow the Lord and believers' baptism. And then you join in the fellowship with God's people. I enjoy coming here. There's some nice people here. A lot of them probably don't like me, but that's okay too. But I enjoy the people. I enjoy the camaraderie. I enjoy the fellowship. And you know the nice thing about it? I don't have to go out here and wash my ears. When I worked in the shop, I'd go to Bible college in the morning, go into work in the afternoon, work afternoon shift. I have to come home and get Roto-Rooter and clean the filth out of my ears from listening to all that shop talk. The fellowship in here is wonderful. You're not a member of this church. You need to join and you need to get busy and join with us and serve God here at Bible Baptist Church. Let's bow our heads. Father, we see the secret of success in one single sentence is go the extra mile. It works in our lives, in our jobs. It works in our home. It works in our spiritual life. Heaven is our home, but it's a fruit that we take with us. The fruit that we enjoy here, the fellowship with God's people here, that really makes it wonderful. Father, we know this is Wednesday night, and God's faithful people are here on Wednesday night, but you know their needs, and there's probably not a person here tonight that doesn't have something or someone on their heart. And we pray, Lord, that that need has been met by your word tonight, or by the fellowship of God's people, or whatever it takes. And Lord, if there are decisions that need to be made, we pray, Lord, those decisions will be made tonight. Help us to be second mile Christians. Help us to do more than is expected of us, and help us to keep doing it. We don't find a place in the Bible to quit. Thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given us. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to page number 281. We sing a song of invitation.